everybody. Good evening. This is the Fakeologist speaking. This is the Fakeologist show. I do this show Sunday through Thursday between 8 and 8:30 p.m. And as I warned all of you guys at the beginning of the summer, it's usually closer to 8:30 because if the weather is nice, I jump in the lake. Yes, I jump in the lake because it's the only exercise I get. And it's been pretty hot up here on the north shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And it's hot. Today it was hot. And the lake is hot. So that's a 1-2 punch. It's a winning combination. So I am starting around 8:30. And tonight we have two guests, so we'll get right into it. The first is a returning guest who is trying to help solve the world's poisoning problem. In case you haven't noticed, the world's being mass poisoned right now. And a lot of people won't admit to it. And but I was just about to do a post before I went to the beach. And it was going to talk about how would you tell the difference between a mass poisoning and what they call a viral infection. And we'll get John to answer that. Returning to the show is John Lukash from EstateArtistry.com. And the link is in the show note. Welcome, John. Thanks for coming back.
Glad to be here.
And you have a guest who you can introduce. Yeah. And go for it.
Okay. Well, we've done a couple of shows now, so you're pretty familiar with what I've been up to. Writing books on vaccine injury and some of the lies that are out there that people are telling, trying to expose some of that. I want to say it was about a month ago. I'm not exactly sure of the date, but there was a fellow that reached out to me because I have these waves where sometimes the emails are just incredible. You know, it's like several hundred emails a day, that sort of thing. And so Emmanuel got a little bit lost in that, but he sent me some information about some products that he puts together, some herbal remedies and such. And when I finally got into that information, I discovered just how amazing this guy is. And so we've been like peas in a pod. We've been talking like anytime we have a phone conversation, it's like 3 or 4 hours. So it's like we got to kind of pick our moments. He was impressed with what I did. I was very impressed with what he did. And so we started collaborating, and there's not enough good things to say about what we're discovering together. So the difference I think between me and him is that, you know, I have this like media freight train going. Like I can't even believe how popular I got in such a short time that I'm getting so many requests for interviews and my stuff's getting out there. And I want to include Emmanuel in that. I think the world needs to meet this guy. And so this is, I think, he correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is kind of like Emmanuel's debut, and I'm
Woo-hoo.
Thrilled. I'm thrilled to bring him on your show and
beautiful.
Give him an opportunity to tell the world some of what he knows. So I'm not going to steal any thunder. I'm going to let him go. Emmanuel, take it away, man.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate the introduction. I read your work. I read John's work and what he had to say about anaphylaxis and this vaccine is absolutely tremendous. I don't want anybody to overlook that. That was written in his first book, and it wasn't a difficult read, but emotionally, you know, it's not necessarily the easiest thing to think about and stay engaged in reading something like that, because it's, you know, it says some things that are uncomfortable, as far as like, especially for me, because I've got parents, you know, family members who've had, you know, the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
That aside, when I contacted John, I said, I don't want to waste any of your time. And what I did was I sent him some information. I sent him a picture of a gentleman's hand. Actually, the gentleman's a medical doctor here in the Cleveland area. He does physical rehab. And then the hand had a lesion from MRSA, and that doctor had been on two very powerful antibiotics, and it wouldn't go away. And it had been about 2 weeks, and he was worried. and he tried some of my supplements. Within 3 days, the lesion was closed, and then that doctor wanted to endorse the product and sell it out of his shop. And so that was an interesting thing for him to see, as well as me, because it was a new product that I just got done developing. Furthermore, before that, in like 2016, there was a retired Air Force officer who still liked to go skydiving. And I mean, he was retired several times over. He was 93 years old.
Whoa.
And he went skydiving 4 times in 1 year. Unfortunately, he passed just very recently.
Not from skydiving, though, I hope.
Not from skydiving. He was just, they say it was from old age.
Okay.
He was like 98 years old. But he had a broken ankle, according to the best doctors in the world at Cleveland Clinic. They said he tore the ligaments, tendons, muscles, and everything in there. And he fractured like 99% through the ankle. And he also did damage to the proprio sensory nerve, which is the nerve that helps you balance.
Right.
And so he had some real struggles. And he laid in bed for 2 weeks. He was embarrassed. And then he finally reached out and gave me a call. And he said, I need you to help me get up out of this bed. And I said, what's going on, Russell? Because, I mean, I was a family friend. I knew him because I grew up with his great nephew. He and I went to kindergarten together. So, his great uncle called me. I knew him as Uncle Russell. So I went to see about him. And he was in a bad way. And his ankle was really messed up. And he goes, well, can you fix this? I said, yeah, I just got to come back the next day. So I came back the following day. And he goes, what do you want to do? And I told him. And he wasn't too sure about it. So I did it to myself. And after I showed him how my product worked, and it was non-toxic, I took the product over and over and over again until he realized, oh, it's not hurting you. No, it's not. And then he tried it. And within 10 seconds, the bruising and swelling in his leg started to subside. I'll make a long story short. In 6 days, he was walking.
Yeah.
On day eight, he was in the hospital and giving his walking boot and his walker back to the doctor who diagnosed him with a fracture going 99% through the leg, torn ligaments, tendons, and muscles, and permanent nerve damage. Mm-hmm. That doctor did a workup on Russell. He was unable to find any permanent nerve damage or any nerve damage of any kind in the leg that he had previously diagnosed 3 weeks prior. He was unable to find the torn ligaments, tendons, and muscles, and he was unable to find any fracture, any break, or anything wrong with the bones whatsoever. When they did nerve conduction tests, what they did find was the nerve conduction in the leg that used to be injured that I had worked with. The nerve conduction was higher than the leg that never got injured in the first place. So the assertion would be there's something that was done during this man's healing that created a situation where he healed and his leg somehow became better and the nerve endings got better than the one that had never gotten injured in the first place.
Yeah.
So it wasn't long. My phone rang. The doctor from Cleveland Clinic gave me a call. I told him to kick rocks and I didn't want to talk to him. He didn't like it. So he explained to me that, just like me, he too was, a scientist. And I was like, I'm not a scientist. I'm a guy. I tinker in my garage and I, lounge around the house and think about how to do things better. Mm. And he said, so what are you saying? I said, well, if you were a scientist, then that means you do science. He said, yeah. I go, well, when's the last time you were in a scientific setting or a laboratory? And that door behind me, that's the door to my laboratory.
All right.
And he said, well, when I was in college, like 20 some odd years ago. And I said, well, if I played golf 20 years ago, then that means I'm not a golfer now. I used to play golf. And if you did science that long ago, then you used to be a scientist, but you're certainly not one now. And I don't want to talk to you. And so I got off the phone politely as I could. About a week or two later, the DEA gave me a call.
Whoa.
I'm now officially registered with the Drug Enforcement Agency.
Oh, okay. It was a good call.
No. He called them and tried to report me. The doctor did.
From
what I understand.
For healing somebody.
Yeah, for helping a retired military veteran regain his ability to walk at the age of 93. Mm-hmm. For getting him on his feet, not in 3 months or longer, like the Cleveland Clinic doctor said, but for helping him get on his feet in less than 6 or 7 days, less than a week. So to make a long story short, for some reason, I'm not making any medical claims here. Never will, never.
No, you can't.
I don't want care.
Because then you get into trouble.
Right. So the DEA called me and asked me what this thing does that I manufacture. I told them nothing. They said, well, then how did this man's leg heal? I said, well, his body healed it. So the way I explained it to them was I told them that my products are supplements.
Right.
They're building blocks that the body needs. And then the body knows what to do with them and uses them to repair itself. It's just that whatever building blocks I give the body, in this particular case with this gentleman, seem to allow the body to heal itself in 7 days. So, or less than seven, actually it's six. But to make a long story short, they decided to register me. The first two lines they had on me in the dossier that they created was one, I was completely out of their jurisdiction and they could not find a way they could stop me or regulate what I do.
Right.
And two, the second line said that they found that my methods and technology were absolutely terrifying.
Terrifyingly good or bad?
Well, disruptive. So
right,
so
disruptive to commerce.
Right. So I know I have a really good friend, and I won't give her name out or anything because I don't know how she feels about it. But I used to be a school teacher, and I had interacted with her children for around a decade, so I knew like all her kids. And we would have conversations about, you know, kid one, two, three, all every day because they'd come to the school. And when I quit teaching and I kind of retired from being a school principal, I began to make supplements. And she had a stroke and she called me and I went over there and I gave her some supplements. It's funny because when we went to the university hospital, they came downstairs and they had like seven specialists in the room with her. They have two of each, two neurologists, two vascular, thoracic cardiologists, whatever. They had all these guys, and they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't get heads or tails of it. Because when she went in, she had a resting heart rate of like 92, and within 20 minutes after having taken the products that I gave her, her resting heart rate was lower than the resting heart rate of like an Olympic athlete. It was like 45, 46. So somehow within 45 minutes, her resting heart rate had become that of an Olympic champion. And the blood clot they found in this right side of her brain was the size of a quarter. They found another one on the right side of her right leg, the size of a silver dollar. Both of those blood clots completely dissolved on their own with no medical intervention in the hospital while she sat and waited for them to try to figure out what had happened. Within the 2 hours that we visited, the head doctor at University Hospital would come downstairs from her office, pulled me in the hallway and asked me what I had done, to which I told her, are you going to, give me, why are you asking me? And she goes, well, I think you've done something. And I said, so what if I have? And she goes, well, that's great, because this woman doesn't have any blood clots anymore. She's like clear, and we're just going to let her go. Mm-hmm. She goes, but this doesn't even make any sense. Look at the EKG. So she showed me an EKG. She goes, I shouldn't be showing you this. And then she said, how in the hell did you get this woman's blood to leak out of the vein, go around the blood clot, and then go back in on the other side in her brain so that she wouldn't have ischemia and brain damage?
Right.
And I smiled, and I said, well, you see all those specialists in that room? She goes, yeah. I go, did they figure it out? And she said, no. And I said, well, you have, tens of millions of dollars of equipment. You have a building that's worth on its face more than $1 billion. I said, you guys can't figure out what I did in my basement? She said, no. I said, well, are you going to pay me? She said, no. And I said, well, that's how I know it's personal. It's not business. I said, I don't deal with it. I'm out of here. And I took my friend. I took her back to my house. I finished helping her recover. And it's funny because when we got back to the house, I made her scrambled eggs and bacon. And she sat there and ate it. And she's 100% fine. Her entire left side of her body was paralyzed when I found her at her home, unable to walk and kind of debilitated on the couch.
Wow.
And by the end of the situation, she was eating scrambled eggs and bacon in my house. And we were sitting there talking about how ridiculous. Because the triage nurse, when she came in the door, my friend came in the door, told my friend that she had never had a stroke and needed to leave because her symptoms were almost completely gone at that point. Mm-hmm. So this is just, these are things that are like what me and John were talking about right before we got on. A lot of things are accessible to people. They just don't understand how to leverage these kind of natural supplements in order to get the results that I'm getting much of the time. One thing me and John have been discussing is a methodology that I kind of found. I didn't discover it. I didn't invent anything. I'm not saying I'm special. What I found is I found a doctor by the name of Dr. Joe McCord, and I read all his patents. He had three patents on the reduction of oxidative stress in mammals. And one of my favorite quotes is from a guy by the name of Archimedes. And I'm just paraphrasing, but
he's a Greek guy, I think.
Yeah. One of the great thinkers, right?
Yeah.
He said, give me and basically to me, what this quote means is he's figured something out and he's telling you how powerful this tool is. And the tool he's figured out is how to use a lever. And so Archimedes says, give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum on which to place it, and I shall move the world. Okay. And to me, that's what I'm trying to do with these supplements. So what I mean is not moving the world, but there are supplements. There are things like something such as trans-resveratrol. It's a red wine extract, and it's got all kinds of medical studies that show that it helps with aging. It helps slow aging down, and it increases the physical stamina and physical performance of a person or animal that they've tested it on. Problem is when you cap out on this thing and you take like 2,000 milligrams or 2 grams, whatever you want to measure it. You're going to have nausea and you're going to feel like you're going to, sick, and you're going to have all kinds of cramping, and it's going to just be terrible. It's going to be a nasty diuretic and you're not going to get the benefits you want. So there's a limit to how much you can take.
Yeah, the poison is in the dose.
Well, it gets interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what if there were a combination of herbs that when you took resveratrol at 20 milligrams acted like it behaved like you took 200.
Right.
200 milligrams, it behaved like you took 2,000.
Yeah.
But you didn't have any of the nasty side effects.
Right.
And that's what I figured out. In the documents that Dr. Joe McCord reported on.
And who's that? But who's this guy? Dr. John, you said?
His name is Joe McCord.
McCord?
He's only the guy that is a Nobel laureate, got awarded a Nobel Prize for inventing the McCord unit, the unit by which we measure oxidative stress or aging in the human body.
How do you spell his last name?
I'm a horrible speller.
Did you say McCourt or McCord?
McCord. I'll look it up and I'll send you the link in the chat. Is that cool?
Okay, that's cool. Can we just back? Okay, it looks like Joe Milton McCord. I found it. An American biochemist. I think that's who it is. Free radical biology is the scientist behind Protandim.
So he invents this stuff called Protandim.
Yeah.
And I go down in my lab because I'm like, oh, I want to live longer. So yeah, that's exactly him.
Yeah.
So I want to live longer. So I go down in my lab and I try to make Protandim. I try to reverse engineer it. I failed miserably and I ended up on my couch for a whole day and it was terrible. So I realized right away, and this is like 6 or 7 years, probably 7 or 8 years ago, I realized, okay, I've gotten everything wrong. I go back and get the proper pharmaceutical grade supplements that I need. I try again, but only because my friend who I helped with the stroke told me to try again, because I was like, I'm giving up.
He was on ABC Prime Time. Wow, he made the big time.
Yeah. So to make a long story short, and I remember watching that when I was in middle school. That's how old that stuff is. I'm 43 years old now. And this is how, like, me and John were talking, about an email that went around between he and I about a medical professional that he was trying to get to look at information, get to look at products or things that are in my pipeline for development, and they won't even look at them. Well, you have to understand, this stuff has been known since the 90s. They don't care. They're not interested in something that's going to change the current circumstances of the people.
Well,
because
of course
then they
not.
Lose, I mean, it's crazy.
Well, anyone that thinks medicine is out to help people is crazy. And now the dog is baring its fangs. It's not even hiding anymore. I think we all are aware of that. But can we just back up a bit and just interrupt a bit? Because we don't know where are you from? How did you get into this? I know you gave a bit of background. And because we got about an hour show, so I don't want to get too lost in anecdotes. So let's just paint a few more broad strokes here. So where are you from and what part of the country, for instance, and how did you get interested in health? And I really want to get on to how you're interacting with Mr. Lukash there and helping people in this. And give us some of your ideas about what's happening in the world right now, if you could do that.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Start with where you're from.
Yeah, that's easy. I can do that. I'm a small town boy. I'm from Wayne County. I'm from a little small farm town in Wayne County, Ohio.
Okay. Is that near Cleveland?
It's about 45 minutes south of Cleveland.
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Right now, you know, the home I live in right now, it's just, you know, it's outside of Cleveland. I live in the Cleveland area.
Oh, okay. Right. You're across the Lake Dreary from me.
Yeah, I'll just take a swim and come see you sometime.
My grandmother was born in Cleveland. I think it's called The Mistake on the Lake.
Hey, I don't have much of an allegiance to this town.
No insult. Just joking. But she was from Cleveland. I've only been there once to visit her sister.
Yeah.
That was in the 70s, but that's a while ago. So let's get back. So how did you get interested in health? Because you said you were a school teacher.
Oh, well, you got to go back further, right? So by the time I was like 15 years old, I was a half second off world record time in the 50 freestyle. And I competed at the International Hall of Fame 2 years in a row before I turned 16 years old.
Are you talking about running or swimming?
Swimming.
Oh, swimming. Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah. So I was a competitive swimmer as a young man.
Nice.
And, I ended up switching sports. Mm-hmm. Because I'll leave a lot of the story out. I ended up switching sports.
Just leave
it at that.
Okay.
And I ended up playing a little bit of basketball in high school. Ended up graduating, going to college, continued to play some basketball. And so, of course, for any athlete, if you're not worried about your health, you're crazy.
Right.
So I was always just looking for ways to be, you know, athletic and healthy and so on and so forth.
Right. Without too much chemical intervention, I hope.
Well, I'm not a drug guy.
No, not you, but you just in general. In general, you're trying.
I was the designated driver for the basketball team in college. I mean, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything. I'm boring.
Me too. So, it's good to be boring. You might live longer, but okay, it might not be as fun.
I like my brain. A lot of people drink and do things just to try to get out of their own mind.
Yes.
I'm always trying to go deeper in because I have a good, it's a nice place up here. I don't have any, you know.
That's good.
Extra voices or anything. So
the geeks will inherit the earth.
So to make a long story short, that's how I got into health. Mm-hmm. And when I became a teacher, because I really love working with young people, enjoyed the crap out of it. Love kids still. I mean, I was in church, 2 months ago or something. And one of the kids I used to teach when he was like third grade was like, "Hey, my name is, you know, do you remember me?" And he came up and gave me a big hug. He's married. He's got like, I don't know, two twin girls and a little one that was with him. And his wife was like, "Oh my God, you're real." And I'm like, "Yeah, what do you mean?" She goes, "My husband talks about you every day."
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah. And so, you know, he invited me, him and his wife and everything. We sat down and spoke to them and had dinner, you know, like 2 days later. And it was really nice. So it's very gratifying. But that's how I got into health. And then so I started playing water polo like in my late 20s. And I was a good player, and I was good enough where, let's say, there was some cheating in the game, and the doctor said I had probably broke my back in 4 places.
And somebody, how can you get hurt in water polo? Somebody attacked you in the water?
Well, one guy grabbed my arm, a second guy grabbed my other arm.
Oh.
Two guys were on each leg, and one guy grabbed me by the hips, and when the guy grabbed me by the hips, he rolled like a crocodile.
Oh my God! I didn't think water polo was a contact sport. What the hell?
It is.
It is.
What ended up happening was my butt crack ended up where my man's parts in the front.
Oh my God! So they're trying to kill. They're trying to kill you.
Well, I ended up at the bottom of a 20-foot pole, and my body was twisted in a way where it was.
That is disgusting. So they literally targeted you. I hope you charged them with attempted murder.
I was at the bottom of a 20-foot pole. Couldn't take a deep breath, but I just calmed myself down, reached down and wrenched my hips around to where I was like halfway untwisted. And then I jumped off the bottom of the pool, got to the side, took a couple of deep breaths and loosened my back and my stomach and reached down and I let myself sink. And I turned again and turned again with my arms until I was uncrooked enough.
Wow.
And by the time I got out of the pool, I was in excruciating pain. But when I got out of the pool, they'd already called the police. It was like a half hour, 20 minutes before I got out of the pool because I was injured. And they'd already called the police. The police being, you know, problem solvers, being sarcastic here, drew their guns on me even though I was wearing no clothes, just like a Speedo suit. and told me that I needed to come with them and get on an ambulance. And I said, I'm not going anywhere with you. I'm going to take a hot shower. My back hurts. And if you have to shoot me, go ahead. And
wow.
I walked past them, and they left me alone. I went and took a hot shower, went home and took a fistful of ibuprofen. The next day I went to class, teach the kids. And I mean, I was in so much pain. I was sweating all day long. My kids were amazing. I was teaching middle school, and they were
and
like,
this is
wrong?
In Cleveland?
That was in Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
And
this is crazy.
Akron University.
So what happened to the guys that tried to kill you?
Oh, you're going to love it. Okay. So the day before we had practice, and I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a minority, and
you're black actually, for all the people in the radio audience. Can
I'm
we say
part
that?
Native American. I'm okay. Part Native American. I'm
okay.
Part Scottish.
Right.
And I'm part African American.
Okay.
So
you don't identify as black?
Well, when I buy a firearm, it's funny because they'll give it to me, but I always make sure I check the box that says white.
Right. Wow.
Okay. And I check Native American. Sometimes I don't even check black or African American, but I just check, you know, I just check the ones I feel like checking that day.
Right. It's just a survey anyway for marketing purposes.
Well, we're in a crazy world where a man can identify as a woman. So,
well, I know.
For a black guy.
Let's pretend we're in the old world. Like, you've got your camera on, and my eyes identify you as black, but you say you have Scottish. It doesn't really matter to this conversation, but it does when you talk about police interactions. Usually, anyway, especially in America,
of course. So, but to make a long story short,
mm-hmm.
the police were less than kind, but they left me alone. I went, took my shower, whatever. The day before, back to what happened the day before. The day before in practice, I played Division I basketball in college. I also was a competitive swimmer.
Yeah.
Who competed at the International Hall of Fame in my teens as a teenager.
Yeah.
So I was very fast in the water, and I could catch a ball. I didn't play. I'm 6'8", 250 pounds.
You're 6'8"? Wow.
But
I said the same thing. I was like, well, you guys a whole head taller than me. Yeah. Wow.
But
you're sitting down. You don't look 6'8", but I'm sure if you stood up, you'd probably hit the ceiling. Can you walk through that door behind you and verify the 6'8"? And if you have to bend down.
Well, I can, but you know, I mean, I'm tall. You want me to get up and go to the door? I will.
It's okay. I'm joking. I take your word for it. The audience has to appreciate. You look like a very large man, and you would probably intimidate the hell out of 90% of the people around you.
I'm not. You know, that's what's so funny. Little children will come up and start hugging me and stuff when I go out in public.
Yeah, children don't have the same bias, though.
They don't care.
They don't have the same inhibitions. They don't. Their brains aren't full of stereotypes until they're teenagers. They don't get the downloads from the media. But anyway, so I still want to know before we move on, did you charge those people that tried to kill you in the water polo pool?
I'd already hit them all in the face.
So all right.
That's what I'm trying to get to. So what happened is the day before in practice, my own teammates were giving me a lot of sass about, hey, you're a big guy. You need to work on your hands, blah, blah, blah. And that's just because I kicked the crap out of them in practice. And we do scrimmages. And they, you know, I think one of the guys had to go throw up in the bathroom because he couldn't keep up with me in the water. Then they had to sub in and out. Like there were three guys who had to try to guard me and they were subbing in and out and they couldn't keep up.
Wow. So that's why they decided to attack you. They were targeted.
They did like a smear the queer thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a bunch of guys got in a circle around me. I was in the middle. Now, my job was to catch the ball and throw it back. But they had like, you know, two balls. So they wanted to throw one and throw the other. Well, it was no big deal. So I caught one ball with one hand, one with the other. And I threw them back just as hard as I got them. And the guys didn't catch them with their hands. They caught them with their face.
Oh, good.
And so then they added a third ball and it just didn't work out. And I never got hit in the head, but they did. So they felt kind of sore about it, I think. So played in our game or the tournament or whatever, the one of the guys on the other team had to leave for a family emergency. So we needed to donate one of our guys to their team so that we could continue playing the match. Well, what ended up happening was I was like, hey, I'm no good. Remember, I need to learn how to catch a ball. I'll go. So we were up. We were up 5-1. Within 20 minutes, it was 5-5 because I'd made four goals on the guys that I normally play with. And so they were pissed because they didn't want to lose. And I was going to make sure they lost because of all the crap they'd done the day before. And so that's when they jumped on me, and that's how I ended up having to take a trip to the emergency room or whatever. And it was like I went to the emergency room like 2 days later. All they did was say I had like acute liver damage from taking too many pain pills. But I didn't have a broken back or anything.
Oh, okay.
I had some torn ligaments. Like,
well, obviously you're very flexible if they could turn your torso like that. So,
I am.
Rubber man.
So, but anyway, okay. So I stopped playing water polo, started playing golf. Still play golf here and there. But
what's your handicap?
So anyway, I got into, I don't even have a handicap. If I had to say one, I'd probably say about 12. I'm a decent golfer.
That's very good.
I'm a decent golfer. I can shoot my best. The best I shot probably
80s?
Like last year when I was playing was like a 69.
Oh, that's very good. That's a scratch golfer. Wow. What can't you do?
Not all the time.
What can't you do?
I can't do a lot of things, man. There's a lot of things. You know, I'm human.
All right. So let's get on track here because what do you think of, let's hear your take on what is going on in the world. I can't call it.
I can take that one for you. What's going on in the world?
No, we already got your point of view. You've been on three times.
I know, but man, there's new things that we have been discovering.
Okay.
You tell me
what Emmanuel thinks about what's going on in the world.
I'm only going to do that because it ties into where we want to go.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm being very strategic here. All right. Most recently, and I think this is very important, there was an interview that came out between Lee Merritt and a lab tech, a PhD in virology, woman named Dr. Purnima Wah.
And, yes, she's been very famous lately.
She has, right? And so,
and where has she been all this time? Why did she just pop out of nowhere?
Who cares? I don't even care. What's really important is that some of the things that she's discovering and some of the things that she's doing, and the problem that Emmanuel and I are trying to solve is one of vaccine damage, right? So there's a lot of people running around. I mean, you've had Hannah on the show. You've seen just how bad that can be.
Yeah.
She's a really extreme case. And so one of the things that has been going on since the last time we spoke was, Hannah wasn't really responding to my protocols all that much, and we need to figure out why. This interview cleared up a lot of mystery. One of the things that came out of it, which was very important, was it shows, I think, the depth of the lying that's going on about what the vaccines do, how they work, how they're supposed to work. You know, this whole business about viruses, the fictitious illnesses, and mRNA therapies, and genetics, and everything, you know, but the kitchen sink. And what she is basically saying, claiming in this interview, is that, you know, a look from the inside, which is where she is. She's a, you know, person who actually does lab work. The way lab work was done, she says, this is not how it's done anymore. She says, you know, pathology is just horse shit, just like virology is. And that's a big deal. You know, nobody's doing lab work. They're doing something called bioinformatics.
Yes, right? I've heard that. Virology is sorcery, by the way.
Everything is. So she's basically revealing what can be done with a vaccine and what cannot be done, what can be done in genetics, what cannot be done. And I think the takeaway, without getting into all the details, is that there are so many layers to this, which are just there to obfuscate the problem and create busy work for very smart people. And all of them are going down all these
rabbit holes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's
wasting time. So
I agree.
Cut to the chase. All right. So, you know, what Emmanuel has done is just basically taken homeopathy, the way naturopaths do medicine, the terrain theory that works on the body, and boiled all illness down to its two main causes, which is oxidative stress and malnutrition.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So all he's doing is giving people nutrition. That's like it. Okay. But there are some combinations which are more effective. There's different things about how,
right,
you know, you take these, how much or whatever, that, you know, there's some secrets here that you can unlock if you just tinker around enough. So he tinkers
For over a decade, I tinkered.
Oh my God! Yeah, but I mean, some of the things here, they're beyond belief what we're able to do. So, I'm just like trying to apply this to the problem. So, the takeaway from this interview was that we have a problem here of metallic contamination more than anything. Dr. Wasit's on a group that has about 18 people on it, she said, and they're from all over the world, and they have tested 2,300 different vaccines, and not just COVID vaccines. I mean, like everything, MMR, flu shots, everything, right? And what she's basically figured out from analyzing these things at a very high level is that they are all exactly the same. Like, get that. There's nothing different about any of these things. She says...
Are we talking about all flu shot or all shots?
We're talking about every vaccine that you can name. I mean, 2,300 different ones.
They're all the same. Same poison.
They're all, yeah. What's happening out in the world with the vaccines is not like a big fancy problem.
No, that's what I figured. And it's the adjuvants, the metals that do all the damage. Because by definition, they tell us that the adjuvants cause the body to react, so then the body's antibodies can go discover these denatured viruses which don't exist, but all the damage is being done by the metals or the proteins that don't belong in the blood.
Yeah, here's what she said. She said that, like, for example, Novavax is the same as the J&J shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the same platform. It's a hydrogel CPC adjuvant. They all use lipid nanoparticles. So Pfizer uses PEG, which is polyethylene glycol. Moderna uses SM102 on top of reduced graphene oxide. There's no mRNA. There's no spike protein.
That's all nonsense. That's all. Yeah. That's the sorcery part.
There's massive amounts of heavy metal contamination. Tungsten, osmium, silica, lots of silver and gold particles, nickel, some amount of lead, massive amounts of aluminum. So all this stuff is very stable in the body, and all the graphene has a very weak piezoelectric charge. So because everything in the body has a negative charge, this is short-circuiting everything, and this is why people are dying. But the big takeaway here is there's no biologics. As a matter of fact, she said that there are only 35 different variations in all the vaccines that she's studying, and the thing that separates one from another one is just a couple of nanograms difference of this.
Right. You know, how'd she get her hands on the vaccines? Aren't they supposed to be under severe control?
Well, you know, there are guys that, you know, just by brute force walk in and steal them, and
that's good.
And there are disgruntled pharmacists, and there are places where we can now obtain these, and a lot of people are looking at them. But they're all marveling at the garbage in there, and they're creating these fanciful stories about what all that stuff is. And there is some truth to that, you know, that I've dug down into that's very deep in material science. But from a health aspect, this just became a very simple problem.
Do you have any links of Pooja saying all this? I wouldn't mind hearing this.
I can send you an email where I transcribe the entire interview. It's like,
what is the name of the link? Maybe I can quickly look it up. I'll put it in my show notes because that sounds, I'm not listening to every single reference that comes my way, but I wasn't sure about Pooja. So you're endorsing her, it sounds like, which is good. And Dr. Merritt,
so many problems.
Are you confident in her truthfulness?
Well, I think that she's under some kind of attack because, you know, I've got a colleague that says that, oh, well, I can't find her educational records or I can't find her, the evidence that she worked at where she said she worked. And I'm like, look, you know, our common enemy here, if they're capable of anything, they're capable of records tampering.
That always happens, though.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, I'm just getting your confidence level because there's so much disinfo, so much controlled opposition.
It agrees with everything that I've been finding. I mean, it seems to be a common track. In my book, I said something like this. I said, you know, I have to consider all these different things.
Right.
They may be possible. They may be happening. They may not be happening. But, you know, if you believe in MNRA, then here's a whole bunch of information that's relevant. If you believe in genetics being manipulatable, if you believe in gene splicing, here's a whole bunch of stuff that you have to consider. But go ahead, Emmanuel. I see you.
I can prove right now in the links. I sent two links before you sent yours. I believe genetics are you can manipulate them, but it's an epigenetic process. You can do it only through basically the way God designed all animals and all creatures on this earth through external stimulation, like in the diet or some sort of herbal thing. If you click on the first link I sent, it says doctor's finger, 24-hour period. That is one of that is a guy who actually has a doctorate in physical therapy, and he's here.
Oh, you should have given me a warning there. Ooh, what are we looking at?
That is one day. That is the day I saw him at his office. And then the following day is only one dose of my product. Now click on the next link. And
that is 3 days. You're grossing me out here.
3 days later. And that's nasty MRSA right there. That's MRSA. And that is a lesion. And they can't clear that up in 2 weeks. He was taking antibiotics for 2 weeks. Couldn't clear it up. Go ahead and click on the second link. That's 3 days later. That's a total of 3 days treatment with the product I manufactured.
Look at, isn't that amazing? It's gone.
Okay. And so this is what I'm talking about. And this is why.
Yeah, but we're not curing anything.
Well, you know, no, we're not. It's like this. If somebody has a car that doesn't work, you know, all you're doing is returning. If you fix it, all you're doing is returning it to its normal status, the way it's supposed to work. If somebody has a finger with a hole in it and you fix it, you didn't really do anything. You just put it back the way a finger is supposed to be.
Yeah. I'll make that note number 3 and show note number 4 if anyone's following along.
So, I mean, I can show you the other gentleman's leg, too. I probably could find a link for those.
It's not gross. Go show it. Show it. It's cool.
What caused the original problem with the guy's finger, by the way? You know?
But that's what's very interesting. He plays a lot of golf.
Oh, okay.
He's a very strong man, and he was gripping the golf club in such a way caused him to have a soft sore, and somehow it got infected, and it just went it went bad from there.
Okay, I got
and
you.
So, but after this,
he's playing too hard.
I can send you the text messages that he had.
And that's
that he
okay.
was angry because I wouldn't let him sell the product on my behalf. He was pissed. He was like, "Well, because by the time he got done with everything, he was making more money than I was and getting all the credit." And I don't mind people getting the credit. I don't care. But I mean, somebody's got to make this stuff. I mean, somebody's got to, you know, mix everything up and put it in the cap. Mm-hmm. I put everything into capsules by hand. You know, everything I do is.
So what we're trying to do is make some of these veterinary remedies available to sick dogs so that we don't have any more dogs running around.
So you're kind of like a pharmacist, a compound pharmacist from the past. This is what pharmacists used to do.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's what that gentleman who was 93 said. Yeah.
Because
when I did the thing for Russell.
Yeah.
And I'll just put it this way. There were needles involved. And so it hurt to administer the product. And so he goes, you know, this hurts. And I said, I know. And I said, take these capsules.
Right.
He said, what's that? And I said, well, it's painkillers. He goes, well, where'd you get them from? I said, I made them in my laboratory. He goes, well, what'd you use? And I said, oh, I used, white willow bark. And that's the herb that these guys in the factories use to make Tylenol. It comes from white willow bark. It comes from nature. All they do is, you know, purify it and extract it and get it, you know, to a pharmaceutical grade, form. And then they call it a different name. They call it Tylenol.
Yeah. Yeah,
we should say here that like Emmanuel's working with pharmaceutical grade supplements. These are not like, you know, just garbage. You're finding it right. It even certified pharmaceutical grade. So these are expensive ingredients that go through an extensive process. That matters. You know, it's not just a small detail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny that all the things that cure us are from nature, really. They're not artificial chemicals. They all come from nature, the things that heal us. Because we're from nature.
Yeah, I mean, we survived as a species this long somehow, right?
Right.
Before Rockefeller came along and gave us a bunch of garbage.
Right.
You know.
But now we're living in these chemical houses, breathing chemical air, eating chemical food. So we have many more poisons that we're contending with as well.
Yeah.
On a daily basis. Plus, we got an EMF. Someone said there's electricity is dirty, the way it travels through our houses and the wires, and is causing and we're electric beings, so we're definitely going to be affected by that. So much going on.
Robert Young said, you know, this spiky cell looking thing that everybody's making a big deal out of, you know, all this is radiation poisoning. This is an effect you see with people who have been exposed to radiation. And I don't completely argue with that because we are all bathing in this soup.
Yeah.
Right? All right. But as far as vaccine injury goes, you know, we have to, we're dealing with people whose immune systems have been just decimated. That's something that, you know, we can quantify. And so the problem is twofold. The problem is we need to turn that immune system on and really ramp it up, right? Like, let's get it even working at a level that is far beyond what's, you know, what people understand as normal. And then let's detox everything out that should not be there.
We got to get the poison out first.
Yeah, there's chelation strategies to do all of that, right? So it's a very simple problem. It's not about fixing your genetics. It's not about reversing like some crazy protein.
We're just poison. It's a mass poisoning. And that's what I asked at the beginning of the show, because somebody sent me a link to the mass poisoning, i.e. the flu shots that we're giving out in Lombardy province in Italy, where this whole thing allegedly started. And so what is the difference between the evidentiary difference between mass poisoning and their so-called viral infection spreading, which we think is a myth?
One is being done and one is a lie. I mean, all this viral stuff is all lies. All right? It's just a bunch of stories that they're telling to scare us, because oxidative stress is worsened by fear. That's really one of the keys here. If they could keep us in a state of panic, whether it's real or not, whatever we're panicked about, all right, that lowers immune function. That makes more people more susceptible to the toxic poisoning. I mean, these guys are stupid. They are just like, I mean, there's nothing good I have to say about them. They are lazy, inbred, not scientifically minded, stupid people that are resorting to the oldest tricks in the book of coercion. And when they want somebody dead, they poison them.
Exactly.
It's that easy. It's that easy. And all this other stuff is out there, I believe, to keep that fact from being obvious. They looked at the world and they said, look at all these smart people. We somehow have to pull the wool over their eyes. All right, we're not even going to bother. We're just going to make them busy with work. We're just going to make a whole bunch of roads they can run down, and they're all going to run down these roads, and we're going to be left standing here laughing at them because they're doing it. I believe that's what's going on. And this interview here that you've got up, I believe that this is proof that that's exactly what's happening. And I mean, look, I've been studying this stuff for 2 years. Every, you know, gyration of every piece of this industry, this COVID pandemic industry, and this looks correct to me. All right, I'm just going to come out and say I believe it. I believe all of it. Everything in this interview, I believe. Right. It all has been pointing this way, and it just doesn't surprise me at all, except for the fact that here's a person who is qualified to actually explain why they were able to do pull such a fast one. And she does a great job here. I mean, this is a very deep, very intellectual interview. And she puts it a great way. She says all the hard sciences are contaminated. Okay. So, you know, the physics filters down into the chemistry. The chemistry filters down into the biology. The biology gives us virology, and then we get
Yes, I think someone else said that.
Built on sand.
It's not biological research anymore. It was interfered with chemical and physics, and now we're in silica, in technologies moving in. So it's in 100 years, we're so far away from any kind of biological research. That's where we are today.
There is none going on.
There is none,
I was a science teacher, and I can honestly tell you, I've read the science book. Mm-hmm. I have close to a photographic memory. You can't do anything that the science book says at all, because it just doesn't work. After third grade, everything breaks down. So what I mean by that is third grade, these kids are taught, or used to be taught at least, unless they've rewritten the curriculum, that Benjamin Franklin discovered electricity flying a kite with a key connected to it.
Right.
Okay, fine. So this guy's electrical. Well, you ask these people if this guy's electrical, they're confused, and they'll tell you it's a thermodynamic, heat-driven situation, that sun heat is what makes the water evaporate and come back down as rain once it gets up there and cools down. Now, you live in Canada, right?
I do. I live on the north shore of Lake Ontarible.
Okay, so I'm in Ohio. You're in Canada. Now, I got one question, a really dumb question.
Yeah.
If it's the sun heat that makes the water go up, then how the hell did you get hail, sleet, ice, and snow all winter long? How is it hot enough for the water to evaporate so we can get hail, sleet, and ice, and snow all winter?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem to work very well. So I asked that question. I was a teacher and I was in college getting recertified. And I said, hey, professor, can you answer this question? To which he said, oh, yeah, it comes from Florida, evaporates from Florida, blows up north, hits the cold front in Ohio, comes down as hail, sleet, snow, and ice, blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, okay. 2 years later, I said, you know, that's not a very good answer. I went and asked the meteorologist, head of meteorology at one of the universities I'd been to.
Yeah, I
can name like all seven of them if you need me to. So I asked him, I said, you know, where does the water come from? Does it evaporate into Florida and blows into the north? And he laughed and he goes, well, no. And this is meteorology. So they know which way the wind blows during which type of the time of the year.
Right.
He laughs and says, it comes from the North Pole. Northern winds come down. That's why you get these cold winds in the beginning of winter.
Right.
And so, hey, hold on. So at negative what? 50, negative 30, you take your pick. At negative temperatures, how does the water evaporate north of Canada where you live so it can blow south and and come down as hail, sleet, snow, and ice? No. It's not possible.
Well, I have to think about that a bit because I do study the weather because I'm outside every day. And in Toronto, where I am, the weather, we are right at a very critical point most of the winter. And that is, we are where warm meets cold. So yeah. we hover around the zero mark, zero Celsius. And I like the Celsius system with temperature way better than the Masonic Fahrenheit system where you have your 32 is liquid and... Or 33 is liquid and 32 is frozen. You know, that I love those numbers. But so we're hovering around zero most of the time, and it's pretty miserable because of that, because you're damp and you're cold at the same time. So the jet stream is pretty consistent up from the Gulf. You can watch it. You can I track the weather because I have the radar app, and I love watching the weather come up from the Gulf, and it just basically traces a path along the Appalachians and then clashes with our north wind, and our wind is spinning around all the time. It's constant.
Have you seen these heat maps from, like, the NEXRAD radar stations that are dotting the country that are steering these things through corridors and making them turns? And
I don't believe that radar steers weather. I'm not... I know...
Do you believe that heat steers weather?
I believe the prevailing winds steer weather. I think there are some consistent Gulf streams and winds, yes.
Get them, Emmanuel.
There's
Get
something
them.
I learned that I want to share, okay?
Okay.
I was a teacher in Cleveland, and I was a teacher in Akron. And in Akron, I had the good fortune of witnessing something very interesting.
All right.
In Akron, Ohio, we have Goodyear, and they make tires.
Right.
Right?
And very toxic, by the way.
Okay. They have the Goodyear blimp.
Right.
And tires are really poor electrical conductors.
Yeah. They don't conduct. I agree with that. Well.
And the blimp hangar where they store the aircraft
right.
is made out of recycled tire rubber.
Okay.
And so because it's recycled tire rubber, the building has a complete and utter inability to ground out electrically to the earth. It doesn't do well. Cannot do that. Okay, now if you remember, like, I don't know, third, fourth grade, maybe second grade, playing around with rubber balloons as a child, you blow that balloon up, rub it on your hair,
right,
and it'll stick to the wall.
A static charge. Yeah.
Okay, so what happens is, doesn't matter what time of year, really, you can go visit the blimp hangar. If you ever visit Akron, Ohio, make sure you call up in advance, let them know when you're going to be in there, and see if you can get a tour of the indoors.
Right.
Because if you have a lucky day, it'll rain, snow, hail, sleet, or ice indoors inside the blimp hangar because they have their own weather system indoors.
Okay.
And I will tell you
they don't have climate control.
No.
Well, do you have climate control outside? Because I don't think you can control that. Here's why you can't.
I thought you said it was inside.
It is inside, and I'm trying to tell you something, and it's going to blow your mind.
All right.
Okay. What's going on is the blimp hangar has its own weather system. When you ask these guys why, the guys who run the building, they can't give you a good answer. They give you a lie. And I don't know, it's probably mistaken because they just don't understand. They go, oh, it's a big building, and therefore it has its own weather system. When you get a big enough building, it has its own weather system.
Okay.
So that's a lie because the IX Center is bigger, and there's all these other airplane hangars that are much larger, and none of them have their own weather system, and all of them have what you say, climate control.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. All those hangars, if you look careful, or not too careful, just look, you'll find that they're made out of sheet metal, which is an excellent electrical conductor. It grounds out to the earth. Okay. And every freaking building that you ever go in is electrically grounded to earth. They all have ground wires. We all have, this is what we do. This is our building code. Well, this hangar, this blimp hangar, doesn't ground out. So when the blimp, which is a balloon, builds up a static charge in the atmosphere as it floats around,
right,
and then comes down and gets parked inside the blimp hangar, it pulls all that millions of volts of static charge in with it.
Right.
In fact, how much static charge does the blimp hangar carry, or the blimp itself carry? Millions of volts of electricity. They have ground wires on the sides of the blimp,
right,
so that when it lands and passengers exit, they don't get hit by lightning coming off the blimp itself.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so this voltage...
Is that what blew up the Hindenburg, perhaps, if that was real?
No, that was hydrogen.
No, I know, but the charge that could build up...
That's a good question.
Yeah, the charge that can build up on the surface, and it could ignite the hydrogen and blow the thing to kingdom come, if that's what happened.
Highly likely. Highly likely. So the blimp gets parked into this thing. It pulls in millions of volts of electricity.
Right.
It's in the hangar.
Okay.
And then that charge does what? Take a rubber balloon, go outside on a dry day, rub it on your head, and hold it over dust, dirt, debris. It'll pull the dust right off the ground.
It's magnetic. It's magnetic. Right.
It's a static field.
Right.
Okay.
It's a magnetic field, though.
No? It's not magnetic because it doesn't attract to ferrous metals.
Okay.
It attracts anything.
Okay.
Okay. You can do it with plastic.
Oh, I get you. I get you. Okay. So the static charge attracts. Okay.
Do you understand when it rains, if you park your car outside after you wash your car, you park it outside, you'll find dust, dirt, and debris on your car
right,
after the rain, right?
So the drop is
how
not...
How the hell did it evaporate? Does dust, dirt, and debris evaporate?
Right.
How did it get up so it can come down? It doesn't. Right. It's a static field. The things, your hail, sleet, snow, and ice and your dust, dirt, and debris go up and then come down with the release and the charging of the atmosphere.
Okay.
There's an electrostatic
The tie-in here is if you can electrify artificially these charges in the atmosphere, you can move the weather around.
That's what he's trying to say.
Not only that, the tie-in here is you can say somebody's wrong. Everybody can say somebody's wrong. But they couldn't say that about the Wright brothers after the airplane was flying. I mean, all the experts said that you couldn't do it until they did it, and then it's like, oh, crap.
Well, so you guys are of the theory that the NEXRAD system is guiding the weather.
Because what it's doing,
sending charged electromagnetic waves into the atmosphere, and it's moving.
They're sending them into an atmosphere that's full of metallic particles that they're being seeded with that. And all it takes to steer a weather system is a heat. And if you beam microwaves into an area, you can heat an area of the stratosphere, create a bubble, and everything will run around. And so they make two of them, and now on either side of a weather system, and that weather system stays right in the middle, and they make row of them, it'll travel right along.
Right, okay.
I'm watching it happen all the time.
Who is here that wants to say that electricity doesn't do work? Is anybody willing to say that?
I love electricity. I think electricity is like magic.
Does electricity do work?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if electricity does work, in that case, you understand that lightning is electricity and it comes from the atmosphere. It comes out of the sky.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so there's something in the atmosphere that now you've admitted is doing work.
Right.
So the next piece of the puzzle is if that electricity is doing work, the question is, what work is it doing? What is lightning doing?
We're told it's a discharge between two potential energies that are very different. So it's traveling from an area of high potential voltage to low, and that's why it goes and grounds out somewhere, whether it be a lightning rod or it goes right to the earth if it's powerful enough.
Like, the thing about it is this. It's observable.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I saw some great pictures last week. And we are you're in a warmer climate zone than we are. Like, the lake makes a big difference to steer weather. I know it because, I'm on the lake and we live amongst the Great Lakes, and these are some fantastic weather systems that occur. So we see some amazing weather here. Right now, at the end of August, we are in the atmosphere is cooling because the sun is going farther south. So we are seeing some amazing weather that happens now between hot and cold.
I think that
I'm glad.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. My point that I'm attempting to make is if you ever talk to somebody who has ever worked in a mining environment,
okay.
I've had the pleasure of running into somebody who was a real life miner.
Right.
And he said, if you open the mine door, all hell would break loose. Because what do you have? I mean, if you have basic understanding of how electricity works,
right.
Here's a computer circuit board. It has wires on it. If you put a charge to the circuit board, it follows the metal, correct?
Okay.
Okay. Are we going to lie and say that there are no veins of copper, gold, silver, or any other kind of metal running through the earth? These people are mining.
Right.
This metal
oh, I
out
see.
Of the ground. When lightning strikes the ground, the earth is a circuit board.
Right. It lights up.
These things like a circuit board.
Yeah, I get
you. Why do you think the ring of fire is the ring of fire? Because that's where all the circuitry drops the electricity. You get a high electrical impedance or resistance there, and it melts the freaking lava. It has nothing to do
with
a lake of fire that you're floating on. It doesn't have to have any
of that. So there's no molten core of the earth is what you're saying. It's all we live in an electric universe.
Okay, well, think about this. If you're floating on a river of lava, I'm just a dumb farm boy, so I'm going to ask some silly questions.
Yeah.
If I put a 500-pound rock on a lake or a pond or whatever body of water you like, I think it's going to sink.
Right.
So what would make me, as a dumb farm boy, believe that you can put a continental-sized rock called Canada or America on a floating lava
right.
that doesn't melt yeah. or sink.
So that's another
lie.
I'm
too dumb to imagine that. The other thing about it is, if I'm floating down a river of lava at 1 inch a year, which the scientists say, mm-hmm. and I somehow, I mean, I've never hit a speed bump on a river or a pond that I was boating on.
Mm-hmm.
I've never hit a speed bump that would cause everything to shake.
I stubbed my toe on a rock underwater today before I came in here. Damn, it hurt. Well, that was a speed bump when I'm walking.
Wakes, by the way, but look, you know, these are all like great arguments. But
all I'm trying to say is this: it would seem that like lightning strikes the earth, it charges the metal cores or the metal veins in the earth, coal or where you get your iron or your gold or whatever else. And if you put electricity to a nail,
yeah.
you get an electromagnetic gauss, and you call that a magnet,
right?
And then this lightning would strike the earth and what? Cause it to be magnetic. Oh, I'm too dumb. Can't prove it. Okay, then why do compasses work?
Right.
Because the earth is magnetic. Why is it magnetic? Because it got struck by lightning. So then we understand that. So now you have what? A continental-sized magnet called what? America. Another one called, Canada or whatever. And they get
right.
pulled or pushed together because they're magnetic. I mean, does a magnet need to be floating on lava in order to get to move across a flat a table or a round?
You see how multidisciplinary he is.
Well,
he's very much like me. I mean, we study all kinds.
I know.
Of
well, we've been lied to for so long. There's so much to discover. When you know everything you've been taught is wrong, it's fun that trying to decode the matrix, and you don't get much help unless you can network with other free thinkers, because we all are channeled into this way of thinking.
I know. Is usually one truth and 10 lies and a whole bunch of window dressing.
I know. Right? And it's amazing. And I thought about that today, because today they're pumping the fake rocket launch again. And I thought, how many more years how many more generations have to go through this BS about going to the moon? They're pumping it up again. It never ends.
This COVID thing, yeah, because like, think about this. If it wasn't for them trying to, pull a fast one over the entire world,
yeah.
nobody would all of a sudden be able to notice just how much bullshit we're swinging.
I know.
And I think that this is going to backfire on them.
I hope so.
Thing. Because, now our eyes are open about how many lies they've been telling and how
yeah.
much stuff doesn't add up. And
yeah.
people are going to start doing what Emmanuel's doing and I'm doing. And we're looking at everything.
Yes.
And it's all kind of related. And this stuff that he's talking about with electricity, this works in the body. Your body is an electrical device.
And listen, if we all survive, I hope Emmanuel agrees that never get injected ever. If we all survive this, if they sacrifice enough of the people that want to be sacrificed and leave us alone and we make it through it, I am happy that the education system is going to be blown up. I am happy that their healthcare system is going to be imploded and blown up. But I just don't want them to rebuild it in their death cult matrix, because that's what they want to do. They want to bring all these things down. they knew that they were running out of time. For instance, you know, you talk about one of the most underdeveloped continents in the world, Africa. If all of Africa gets electrified and gets hooked up to the internet, what a resource all those people were going to be. And I think the elite were afraid that we are on the edge of a massive infodemic. So if Africa gets super developed and super smart and all those people get plugged into the intelligence and computers that and free energy that we can all benefit from, they are a direct threat to the elite. If we can have our own currency systems because of the internet, their currency control goes out the window. So they had to lock the planet down so they could rebuild it into a very strict prison planet and lock up all the free minds. Because if they let this get out of control, then they're out of a job. They're going to be kicked out of their castles in Europe, because that to me is what really is happening right now. And they're busy culling and poisoning people. And you're going to have to let those people go because they still believe in it, and just leave the smart people behind. And you're going to have more parking, and you're going to have a lot more intelligent people around.
Oh, man.
It's sad. I know.
It's sad. Yeah.
But what are you going to do? You know, you can't convince people that they're already drugged and poisoned and walking around overweight.
Not everybody. Not everybody.
No, I'm talking about
a lot of people. There's a lot of smart people that have always been smart.
Right? And they're all waiting to see how this is going to play out. And we're all in a waiting game. I've said to everyone that's smart.
I'm getting busy.
I know. It's cool. But I told everyone,
how cool it's going to be when all these guys' toy boxes are laid bare and we can just go in them and mess around with what they've been, you know, hoarding for the past century or two.
That's right. And the problem is, when we find out, we can spread the information instantly around the world and give it to Emmanuel and give it to you. And then we can work together and say, what did you find out? What did you find out? And we can unlock this whole matrix. As long as we don't get locked up first. You know, they're busy building the prisons and the shackles.
I like what you had to say about where lightning comes from, how it was two dissimilar charges between the earth and
the sky. That's what I think I was taught.
I want to address that. It because it brings me, you know, the ability to try to address that. I sent a link. It's a video link, though.
Okay.
It talks about something called the Seebeck effect. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. They certainly don't teach it in the curriculum.
No. They don't teach anything.
You can watch it at your leisure, but it's pretty cool, because what happens is there's a guy who pulls a Peltier module.
Never heard of it.
A hot water, cold it's what's in every refrigerator, freezer, hot water, cold water heater. One side of it gets really, really hot. One side of it gets really, really cold. Some computer geeks use it to overclock their computers. I know I used to use one in college to overclock my computer. You put the hot side facing the heat sink up, and you put the cold side facing your computer processor, sandwich them together, put some silicone, put the silver silicone stuff, the insulator, and it will pull the heat right up out of the processor, and it'll freeze it like negative degrees. So anyway, this thing gets really, really hot on one side, really cold on one. I mean, we're on the other. It's like we're talking negative degrees on one side and way over boiling on the other. And he uses it to heat water up on one side and to cool water on the other. You could use it that way. That's what a hot water, cold water device would do. But he uses it in reverse.
Okay.
He actually pours hot water in on one side and ice water on the other. And it's connected by like some metal that conducts into the Peltier module. And what ends up happening is this thing generates electricity. So here's what the challenge is. Go get a temperature gun. You're like the one the zombie people are trying to shoot you in the head.
Right. If you got
Go get a temperature gun. Go outside on a night where there's a full moon. Shoot the ground where there's grass in the moonlight.
Yes, I've heard this.
Shade.
Yes, I've heard
this.
And
what happens? It's colder in the moonlight than it is in the shade, right?
Right.
So this would suggest that the moon is cold,
right,
and somehow giving off a cold light. Well, if that's true, and the Peltier module proves that the Seebeck effect is real, then that would give you an understanding of where lightning comes from. Because if the sun is hot and the moon is cold, they're going to create a voltage across, in which case you're going to have a blue sky, in which case it's going to charge up the atmosphere like a capacitor. And once it reaches maximum capacitance, it's going to shoot.
It's going to release. Yeah, it has to release. Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha.
So this is giving us an understanding of where lightning actually could come from and how and what mechanism God is using to generate said lightning on Earth.
Right. Okay.
Well, you know, if you believe in, if you buy into reincarnation, I think we may have Archimedes like here in your studio. I mean, who knows, right?
You're very complimentary of Emmanuel. Wow. He does know a lot. It's amazing. It's fun talking to free thinkers. It really is. And this is what I'm talking about, the infodemic. They don't want us interfacing because we are exponential when we collaborate.
Yeah, but here's what I just want to say, right?
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm beyond scrutiny or I'm 100% right, but there's something I do differently than most people.
Mm-hmm.
One, I'm talking about lightning, which is one, it's observable and measurable.
So yeah.
You can measure and observe it. Two, I'm talking about a temperature difference, and I gave you a method by which you could measure with a temperature gun. And once again, the moonlight is observable and measurable. And two or three, the sunlight is observable and measurable. And so you could figure out all these variables, whether I'm, you know, full of crap or not.
Yeah.
You could go and watch this video and see this man conduct an experiment, and he's not using anything complicated. You could duplicate that experiment as well, and then have full knowledge that what I'm saying to you is 100% true. I mean, and so there's something I'm doing differently, in which case what I'm doing differently is I'm telling you where the energy source that causes the action is coming from, and I'm pointing to it, and I'm showing you that it's observable and measurable, and so everything I'm saying can be verified. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a lot of free energy in the atmosphere that they are pulling down and charging us for it? For instance, one of the things that the Fakeologist site has been talking about
for
10 years.
Gases.
Yeah, but what? Yeah, exactly. But one of the things we've been talking about for the last 10 years, we don't think nuclear power or nuclear science is real. That is another alchemist's fantasy. So for 100 years.
Comment on that.
Pardon me?
I've heard some things about that too, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
I'd like to comment on that.
Okay, go ahead.
So when you listen to the language, when somebody says nuclear radiation,
right,
you have to understand, if you go back and open your textbook, right, because I spent over a decade reading textbooks to children, textbooks to middle school kids. And I mean, I was certified to work in schools anywhere from kindergarten all the way up to high school. Okay. And when you spend all that time, somebody comes up, some kid eventually is going to come up and say, well, what is radiation?
Right.
And that's going to force you to open your textbook and look and see what it is. Well, I can tell you what it is. It falls in the electromagnetic spectrum. What? Yeah, so it's in the same spectrum as radiation or radio waves, which is in the same spectrum of light. So it's a radio signal. It goes outward in a circular pattern.
And it propagates from a point.
Yeah. So you're talking about radio waves. Mm-hmm. Why is it, you know, why do we worry about it? Well, because it's at a higher amplitude and frequency such that it damages living things, and it has what's called half-life. So things that are radioactive, bricks, by the way, are radioactive, bananas are radioactive, mm-hmm. and the radiation in those don't go down incrementally, they go down in half-life. So like, say something's radioactive, it might take 100 years for it to get half as radioactive.
Right.
It just literally jumps in steps of halving itself.
Right.
So it's part of the electromagnetic spectrum. So I would say, yes, the electromagnetic spectrum is real, mm-hmm. in which case if radiation falls underneath that, yeah, it's real. And then I would go and do certain things, like I would say, look at Joe X. I don't think he wants anybody to know his last name. I don't really care. His name is Joe Booker. It took me 2 years to figure that out. He invented something called the Joe cell, or discovered something called the Joe cell.
Okay.
There's a step function occurring in that device. Yes, I figured out how it works.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not really interested in telling everybody, but I do. I'm pretty sure I know how it works.
Well, what is it?
It's looks like this. Looks like this.
Okay.
When you open it up, you'll see that there's rings inside of it.
Okay. What is that? A metal cylinder? Is that what we're looking at?
You're looking at several cylinders nested inside of one.
Okay. Nested cylinders. Right. Nested cylinders.
I'm going to give you a secret. I'm going to show you something.
This is a Fakeologist exclusive, a secret for all those that have hung in for the hour.
I'm going to tell everybody in the world right now how the waves in the ocean work. And before I do, I'm going to ask three questions. I'm going to expose the three.
What about the waves in a lake? I got whacked by a couple tonight.
Yeah, it applies across the board.
Okay.
It applies across the board. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is just think in your mind, what makes the waves in the ocean? You can type that into Google. And when you do, you'll get three answers. You'll get the gravity of the sun, the gravity of the moon, and you'll get wind. You'll get three things.
Now, a lot of people think gravity is fake.
It is fake.
Yes.
But none of those are true.
Right.
So the problem of it is this. If it's the gravity of the sun, then why is it that when you come down to the beach, why are the waves so stupid that they forget to move toward the sun during a sunset, away from the island that you're standing on or away from the beach
that
you're standing on? And why do the waves move away from the sun and toward the beach? They're defying the gravity of the sun. The scientists told you the sun has more gravity than the earth. That wouldn't make any sense, but that happens every single time.
Right.
So the next thing, the next thing we can debunk is we will debunk the fact that they're going to tell you it's the gravity of the moon. Well, if it's the gravity of the moon that makes the waves, then how do you get waves during the daytime when the moon's not present on your side of the planet?
Right,
well,
exactly.
There's a problem there. And they'll say it's the gravity of the sun, but we've already debunked that.
Yeah.
Then you say, well, you can do the same thing with the moon that you did with the sun. Stand at the beach, watch the waves go away from the moon that's in the distance and toward the beach that you're on. Seems like the island or the beach that you're on has more gravity than the sun and the moon put together. Because the waves just defy these bodies in heaven and go toward you on the beach. The next problem is they're going to tell you it must be the wind. Well, the problem, then I say, well, don't all islands have high tide and low tide?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so that means if you have high tide, do you realize all the water has to come in from all directions all at once so the tide rises and then
right.
It has to go out from all okay, so that means how can the wind blow four different directions all at once at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not high tide everywhere at the same time.
Yeah, but on the same island. So if it's like this, man, if I put my car in neutral, are you literally telling me that I can push from the front and you can push from the back and we'll actually get somewhere? Because that's what we're explaining. If you have high tide on an island, the wind must blow contradictory of itself and somehow not interfere with itself. But it doesn't interfere with the air, but it sure as shit moves the water. That doesn't even make any sense. How do you have enough torque or leverage or shearing force to move the water underneath the atmosphere, but not enough shearing force to affect the wind that is supposedly moving the water?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any
There's
sense.
So many things we could talk about, Emmanuel. I mean, the Earth being, or the Sun being 93 million miles away from Earth, 93 is the occult numbers, is impossible to believe. And the moon, all we can tell is it's a two-dimensional circle. There's no proof it's even 3D. And we don't even know what the hell it is. Is it really the sun reflecting off a big spinning rock? Or is it a hologram? Or is it just something we don't even have words to describe? There's so much magic in this world that all we know is their story is a lie.
I have to demystify this for you, okay?
All right.
So do you see this little thing right here? This device? Nested.
You didn't tell us what it did.
It doesn't do anything. It's just.
Now he froze.
Did he froze?
Yeah, he froze. Whoa, what a good time to froze.
Yeah. Hey, man, thanks so much for having this guy on. I think that
this guy's really smart.
Yeah, he really is.
No wonder you have 4-hour conversations. My God, you guys are really smart guys.
I I'm really happy to be working with him because, this is a multidisciplinary problem, this vaccine injury thing. And it's going to take multidisciplinary people and a lot of skills in a lot of different areas to solve it. And, he's one of those guys. I'm one of those guys. And we're breaking all the rules and making like some great progress. And we're not even like, we don't even care if nobody believes us. We don't really even care if everybody argues some point. We're just like blocking them out and moving like a freight train ahead. And we're actually doing something really cool, man. And it's like so exciting to be a part of. I can't even tell you. It's like
saving lives.
Yeah. Every day we learn something. And, based on, a lot of the stuff that we're going to fix Hannah, man. We're going to fix Hannah. We are. And, I can't wait to pedal her out and go look.
Back, I think.
You're back.
Yeah.
You went.
Let it go, man. We're summing up here, but it was good. It was good.
No, it was very good. We're just, Emmanuel, I think we could talk for hours because you've got so much knowledge and you're such a free thinker. It's fantastic. And
well, I'm just telling you the truth. Like, I'll show you a video where it creates waves. You know what an oscilloscope
next time, man,
is?
Next time.
I'm sure. I mean, I hope you're into media fakery and fakeology and 9/11 and JFK and all the lies, because as John said, one of the great things is now that the elite have decided to show their hand and lock the place down and keep us in a locked prison planet, is because they know it's an infodemic, and all the things I've been talking about for the last 10 years. And of course it morphs into health. And because if we know, the one thing we know for sure is that the entire planet can be told a lie and believe it, and it can stick. That's what 9/11 taught me. So that's when I just looked at every single thing that I was afraid of and thought, okay, now that we know that we can lie about everything and people will never bust it out, or the few people that figure it out will just be isolated and ridiculed and never be able to get together, I wondered what else is there. So there are so many lies out there, and the biggest, most blatant one now, of course, is the COVID lie. These guys are just getting ridiculous with their gullibility tests that they do every day on people. So we know this is a huge lie, and my point is, I hope you've, and there's just where are we? What is the nature of the earth? What is the shape of it? Why do you guys keep lying? Why can't we just tell the truth and figure it out for all? Why can't we all figure it out? Wouldn't that be wonderful? What are you guys hiding? What do you guys think you're hiding at the top? That's the great part of being a free thinker. There's so much. Why are you guys trying to get rid of natural gas when Canada sits
golden age?
Yeah. When Canada's sitting on the largest natural gas deposit in the world. So are you, they just don't want free energy. I mean, natural gas is close to free energy.
All these guys are doing is destroying. That's all they're doing.
I know, but they want us destroyed because they're afraid of us and our power. If we could figure out the nature of the planet, is there more to this world? Are they hiding an entire continent? Who knows? Because we're all busy fighting each other with all their nonsense. And we're also being poisoned to death right now, so we don't have time to figure this stuff out.
Me and Manuel got a surprise for him, man. It's going to be like a right hook. It's going to be awesome.
All right. Well, we've been going about an hour and a half. Do you want to sum it up? We can have you guys back anytime. You guys are really fun to talk to. And, of course.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll try to do something about my audio, make it more clear for you next time.
I want you to get a microphone. I'm going to tell you what to buy. For $100, you get an Audio-Technica AT2020. You can get AT2020. I won't even send you a link because I think Amazon shut me down years ago. So I don't, my Amazon store doesn't even work. But you
would need a photograph of you like reaching up and touching a basketball hoop. That would be good.
That would be good. Or can you just, if you want, just walk through when the show's over, just walk through that door. And if you have to bend over to get through it or get close to bending over, because I know people that are over 6'5 have sort of this psychological thing where they have to kind of duck when they go through a doorway.
I bought a house that has a tall doorway. So
oh, okay.
Door. It's not a regular basement. I couldn't live in a regular basement.
Right.
When I went shopping for homes, I made sure that the basement was a regular, it was like every other room.
It was a full floor.
That's right.
Right. Okay. So that
size doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter.
But yeah, it's the AT Audio-Technica 2020. It's a pretty routine one. I think Amazon recommends it for the price point. So it's just a really good mic to get. Get a little pop filter to go on top for $5. So you don't pop your peas when you're talking, and mm-hmm. you're just going to have great audio.
Let me look it up.
AT2020. That's
we'll
audio
clean it up because we got a junket to do. I mean, I'm putting this guy on everywhere.
All right. Well, good. Well, fantastic. So what else do you want to, how do you want to sum this up, John? John Lukash, the estateartistry.com/blog.html.
That's a great place to just keep up on what we're doing. I post pretty prolifically on there.
Yeah.
I'll be posting whatever, you know, advances we make, whatever findings we have there. So I'll take care of that. There's going to be a place where you can get some of Emmanuel's products shortly. I can't really talk about it too much right now. But,
okay.
But it's coming.
There's something
so
that I,
people,
Yeah, sorry.
People, oh, and that's a great video, by the way. I love that. It's like the most annoying question in the world answered. You know, there's another one that I put on my blog that is all about debunking the next logical step, you know. Like, nobody ever looked at a microwave oven and thought to themselves, the next logical step is to surgically implant this oven in my mouth so I can cook food as I eat it. This girl does a great comic routine that just throws the, you know, pulls a rug out of the WEF and their next logical step singularity garbage. Yeah. We're not going to merge with the machine, man. We're not. It sucks. So,
we're going to win.
What? Right? We're going to win and we're going to beat this. And I want everybody to know that vaccine injury is fixable. It's fixable. All of it. I think we can do it. I'm sure. I don't have all the answers yet, but we're getting there really fast, really fast. And I'm just looking forward to.
And the best way to stay healthy is just to not take it. Don't inject yourself.
Yeah, don't at all cost yourself with anything.
Anything ever. Anything. Yet. Yeah, Anand Juice Vanderplanet said the same thing.
That's a great guy.
Yeah. Whatever you happened.
Put, like a link to him. I've got one.
Do you have one? Yeah. Anand Juice Vanderplanet or whatever his name was. Yeah. Just fantastic. And it had the most difficult name in the world to spell. But, I think I put a video or an audio clip of him actually somewhere. It's probably on my blog, Fake O'Tube. I should look that up.
I'll give you one.
Anand, right, what is the name? Anand Juice? Anand. It's so hard to remember. But yeah, he's fantastic. And I have a really good quote of his when he said that. I'll have to find it one day. I don't have my soundboard up. Did you have any closing comments, Emmanuel?
No. I mean, I like what you do here on your show first time. You know, I really just want to say thanks. You guys, you're great.
Thank you.
I think you're on to something. I do not disagree. I enjoyed when you said, what shape is this? You know, this earth, why can't they just let us figure it out? Those kinds of things. Absolutely. I agree with you. Let me just put it that way. I agree with you on like pretty much 100%, more than you realize, especially the stuff you're saying about the moon. I agree with you. I think more than John does.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, absolutely.
I ask questions too.
I have more questions than answers. I don't have a lot of answers. I readily admit that. I'm not a researcher. I'm a collator of information. You're more of a researcher. You're a researcher. I'm just a questioner.
Let me put it this way. When the DEA called me, the next day I got invited to take a trip to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And sit down with a top attorney who ran a law firm, and they wanted me to disclose a couple of things. One, how liquids of any kind, including water, can make a gasoline engine run. They did not say that it didn't work. They wanted to know how I did it. Two, they wanted to know how I got this thing to make an engine go.
Wow.
And they wanted me to give up the product that I used and the technology that I used to heal that old man's leg, that 93-year-old man's leg. They wanted that because they said they could make billions of dollars in the medical industry with that technology. And I refused to give it over.
You could cost them billions of dollars. That's
right.
That's the main problem.
I'll tell you
what happened. Are you
within the? Within a year, I magically was poisoned and had my liver rupture, not once, but twice. I had a guy try to assassinate me in the parking lot of a golf course from the time I left the course to get to my car. He had a pistol. I'll just keep it real short. He didn't win, and we both lived, and both of us got to go home.
I was going to ask.
I did regrow my own liver. It can be done. I know because I did it. Twice in the same year, basically, yeah. So, but there are things that are possible that people think are not possible. And
I was going to ask you if you were worried for your safety because of the stuff, you know. And so, are you?
No, I mean, I'm like, I think every other, you know, I believe in God, so I mean, I'm not worried about if I die or when I die.
Yeah,
I just want. I have some stuff and people I want to try to do things for.
Yeah,
while I'm here.
You know a lot. You know a lot, and I think your safety is guaranteed if you just release the information and let it go out there. And then
you see, man, you see, that's your best defense.
It's your best defense.
Nothing special here, man. It's out there.
Don't hoard the information, because just put it out there. If you put it out there, then you don't have anything that they want, because it's already out in the free world, basically.
Well, I mean, I can agree with that, but here's the thing, right? What if I told you that you could understand the Seebeck effect and how lightning was made if you just read Genesis? If you just read Genesis, it tells you right in the book. I can show you in the Bible where it tells you what the moon and the sun are and how they work, but nobody will. So if you release the information, welcome to the real world. It's not like people are going to read it.
Yeah, it doesn't work in Game of Thrones like that, though. See, that's the problem.
Yeah. No, I've got a lot of Bible believers on my site that tell me all the answers are in the Bible. and they've read the Bible. Yeah. And we laugh at them and joke about it.
Most people lack the acumen to competently discern or figure out what the Bible is attempting to tell them. And what's interesting is I'll read like a section of Genesis, and I'll tell you this is what it means. Mm-hmm. And then you can ask somebody else, and they'll say it means something different.
Right.
Interpretation. And then I'll show you in the world how it works in the world.
That's the interesting thing. That's the interesting thing about the Bible, is that everybody interprets it their own way, and it's different. Mm-hmm. And it seems to yield some kind of piece of information to just about everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's all good information, really, you know? It's such a red herring with so many people that just want to control you with it too. So, everything is a double-edged sword. You got to just learn to take away what is valuable and leave everything else right where it is.
The Bible says something about that, though. It says you should know who they are by the fruits that they bear. So if somebody reads, if I go and I read this passage and it says, a certain thing, and then I go, look, I've built something. Look, I built this. I can run a car. Oh, by the way, I put this in one of my cars. I only got 1,600 miles a gallon. So
1,600. What about the guy that says he can run his car on water? Didn't he get knocked off or derailed?
Myers got knocked off. He got knocked off. It was 1996. Yeah. He got knocked off. His twin brother disappeared. He was an Ohio boy like me. He was living in, I want to say, right outside of Columbus in a small little place called Grove City. Yes. I was actually past that like earlier this year.
Rogue City?
Grove, G-O-R-V-E.
Oh, Grove, okay.
They have problems because people go call down there still to this day and ask for his autopsy and all that, and they want to see the toxicology because he got poisoned. He was meeting with oil executives at a Cracker Barrel, and they poisoned him.
Emmanuel, let me ask a question based on your skin. I think I was talking about this a few months ago. That somebody said that black people are naturally just smarter than most of the other pigments in the world. And one of the things that the elite do is that's why they're so worried and so concerned with keeping black people down. Do you agree with that? You seem like a pretty good example of intelligence.
Well, let me say this much. I have a product, and me and John made a funny joke about it. I have a product that I engineered that I took for, it's a capsule. I took it for about 4 days. When I got done after 4 days, my legs wore white, like a white man. My skin started to change color and turn white. And at that point, I understood that there was something about this product that was manipulating genetics in the body that was causing me not to produce as much melanin.
Right.
And so I was white. And so I said something to my my lady friend that stays here, and I said, "Hey, do you want to be white?" And she got really angry. She's like, she got angry, and she marched out of the room, and she goes, "You better not do that." And I said, "Well," after I thought about it for like 24 hours, I came back and I was speaking to a friend of mine, and I said, "You know what this taught me?" And they said, "What?" I said, "It taught me that we're all the same. It's just there's an off and on switch for how much pigmentation your skin's making." And I've actually got a formula, an herbal blend, that will change that switch and turn it off or on so that you don't make as much pigmentation. If you wanted to, I could pretty much take that product
Michael Jackson was taking it, wasn't he? Is it called vitiligo? Vitiligo?
I told him he could sell it as white privilege.
Yeah,
that's what he wanted me to call
Michael
it,
Jackson juice. But you're not answering my question. I was giving
I
you.
I don't believe anybody's smarter than anybody else. If you want me to answer,
oh, okay.
I don't think. I don't believe in that. I mean, I.
You don't think there's any link with the color of your skin or just the black ancestry?
I mean, I'm part, like I told you, what I was. I'm part African American, Native American, and Scottish.
Right.
Like, my lineage goes all the way back to the Celtic clan.
Right.
In Europe. And, you know, and so, you know, my grandmother, my mom.
Yeah. Oh, you froze again. One thing you don't have. Yeah, go ahead. Try again. You were freezing up there, brother. So maybe were you where the Moors came up, sort of towards the British Isles, kind of mix.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would be like a Scottish person, and I'd also have to be a Native American that was living on the other side of the ocean. And if you go back, we're all from a lot of different areas, you know.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
And honestly, I don't think they know squat about DNA. Like my grandfather, my mom, and her
DNA is another hoax. DNA. Did you hear
my grandfather's? Yep, I believe that.
One of my other listeners is a black guy who's from Ohio, and he is big on the DNA hoax. And he'd be another good guy to talk to. He's been on my audio chats for the last 10 years, so he's another guy that's really. He loves to show the origin stories, and they're laughable about the guys that invented Watson and Crick. It's another inside joke. It's really, these guys are jokers.
Wow.
And there's no such thing as DNA, RNA. It's all another lie.
Yeah, and skin color is not a genotype. It's a phenotype. We don't even bother to look at that. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's so many lies. Yeah.
I agree with that. And it just, like I said, I don't believe there's one group of people that are smarter than any other. I don't believe in it at all.
It's just whether or not you're the type of person that just needs to have an answer and have that answer just be accurate. Yeah. I mean, it's really,
and I think a lot,
not everybody needs that, but I do. I don't know. I can't live without it.
And I think a lot of it is if you avoid the crowd at an early age and stay away from alcohol and drugs, you are going to let your brain just have the room to breathe and flourish, and you're not going to fall for the lies because you're not going to be running around with the herd in the middle of the herd going this way and that way and zigging and zagging. You're going to be a
lot.
Don't
comply with the herd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. All right. Well, why don't I play? I found my because you spelled Anon Juice Vonder Planets for me, because I could never remember how to say or spell his name because it just does not stick in your mind. I grabbed that video. I'm gonna put it in the show notes. And then I found my great vaccine clips from Agenus Vonder Planets. What a name. So I can play them as we play out. So we'll have to have you back, John. We should put you on the monthly guest rotation here at Fakeologist, just because you always have enough information to bring every month. So if I can just rebook you automatically, and then you can move it around if it doesn't fit, and you can bring Emmanuel, maybe Emmanuel wants to come on monthly too.
I'm getting pretty popular, so yeah, book me now.
Yeah, I'll book you for a month out, and maybe Emmanuel. If you want to come on your own to the show as well and just talk, because obviously you have a million stories as well.
Oh yeah, I have some stories. Yeah, I would love to revisit with you. You're a great guy, man. I really appreciate. Like, and I'm honestly telling you, you're on to more than you realize. I mean, you've got a lot of good instincts.
Oh, thank you.
I have proof. I can prove it. I can take you out to my garage and I can show you things. I can show you. I've got an engine. I can show you. I can send a link to a video right now.
Wow.
My mother cried on the phone. This is a good one.
Whoa.
So I tell my mom, I'm like, hey, I can get water to run in an engine. She goes, what are you doing? You know, making hydrogen or whatever? I said, no, I just pour the water in and start to suck her up and it goes. She goes, that's not possible. If you could do that, you'd be rich. I said, no, I'd just be dead. That's all. If I did it and I told a bunch of people and it got out there, I'd be dead. She goes, no, I don't believe. She goes, I don't believe you. You'd be famous. You'd be on the news. I said, oh, okay, Mom. Is that what you think? She said, yeah. So I go and I slave away and I build this thing like in 24 hours. It's in my garage and it's my grandfather's old snowblower that he gave my mom and she didn't want it. She gave it to me.
Yeah.
So I've reworked the whole thing. It's got a plasma tube. It's got a reactor on it and everything. So this thing takes liquid, turns it into a plasma and pushes it into the air intake of the engine and it goes, it runs. You can take any liquid, put it in the gas tank and it goes. So I take it like a video of this thing running.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It sends out a type of radiation that fries my phone, but I have the video.
Mm.
And I send it to my mom like the very next day. I send her the video and she gets it and she watches it. And then my phone rings. She goes, Emmanuel, what is that? And I told her, I said, it's just an engine. It's got 75% water, 20% gasoline, 4% diesel, and the rest of it's dirty motor oil. She goes, wait a minute, it's running mostly water? I said, yeah, 75% of it. She goes, wait. And you can hear her watching the video again. She goes, oh, no, no. I go, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? She goes, what? I go, I'm going to take you up on your word. One of us is going to be famous. Well, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm going to call the news. I'm going to deliver the blueprint, schematic, whatever, how to build this thing directly to your door. And when they get to your house, I'll have the engine. I'll put it right in the front driveway and I'll tell them you built it. And here's the plans. And she goes, I don't want to die. You get rid of that thing right now. I did not have that engine because my mother, she broke down in tears and she realized what was going to happen. And she begged me to get rid of that engine. I don't have it. I have all the parts. I could retrofit on another engine. But she made me dump that thing off, even though her father gave it to her, even though it was a family heirloom.
I'm building a go-kart right now. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
You want to put it on a go-kart? That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, I can show you. I can send you a link of the video. You want me to? I'll do it now.
Yeah, for sure. I'll put it up.
And it's running. It's running fine. And actually, I talked to a guy that worked with, Paul Pantone back in the day, a gentleman who got the first plasma reactor running. And it was very interesting. Let's see if I can find it.
Well, we're talking to a modern inventor here, John, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I've done similar things at my shed. My shed's a lab.
My shed just has some garden equipment that I haven't had to use in a month because it's been so dry. That's what my shed has in it, but it's okay. We can't all be inventors. Some of us has to. All right, so why don't we play? I'll play a couple of these clips here on my way out from my webpage, blog post rather, called "Great Vaccine Clips from Agnes von der Planitz." Whatever happened to him in Thailand? Who knows? But. And you can shoot me that link, Emmanuel. But we've been going for over 2 hours now. And we didn't really talk a whole lot about vaccines and your secret formulas there. But we'll have you guys back for sure. We'll have you back.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Appreciate Thank it. You, guys. Thanks, Emmanuel. Nice talking to you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, and listen to these clips if you want. Here we go.
Well, the way I usually wake people up about that is I say, you've got about 68 inert things in it and 5 main compounds that go along with the so-called disease. It's either grown, most often it's grown on eggs, so that the eggs rot and they contaminate them with this, you know, with tissue, diseased tissue of that animal. And then, of course, the bacteria and everything is supposed to grow in the solution, and they put a tiny amount of that, I mean a fraction amount of that, into the vaccine. But what else is in there? They say inert material. What is that inert material? If it's 63 chemicals, what is it? They can't be helpful. No chemical is helpful in the body. And then the main ingredients are liquid mercury, liquid aluminum, formaldehyde, ether, and detergent. Now, if I put that into a blender with some rotten eggs and some diseased animal tissue and offered it to you to drink, would you drink it?
Mm-hmm.
When I tell people that, they step back and say, oh, gosh, no, I wouldn't drink that.
Yeah, that's clip number one. Clip number two.
I say never let anybody stick anything into you ever.
Yeah.
He quoted me from SGT Report. I swear I said the same thing.
Yeah, this is from a while ago. This is from a long time ago. And this is where he said, if they were really testing for a virus, the whole testing mechanism and routine would be biohazardous. So there's just no way they could do it. It would cost thousands of dollars every time they wanted to do a test for a virus. But now we're told that you can just spit into something or stick it up your nose. But it's ridiculous. Okay, I see your patent pending note there, Manuel. Let me play this.
Yeah, that's the technology that I have patent pending. But the government, don't worry, it'll never happen, because the government contacted me after I told them I wouldn't give them the stuff that healed the gentleman's broken leg. They said that I was on a list and I was not going to be allowed to have any property as far as patents are concerned.
Yeah, well, they just steal it anyway, so they're not stupid.
They do their best, won't they?
Yeah, here's the last clip with Anandrus.
Now, who's looking for it? Who's going to test for swine flu? When you have a flu, you have to ask the laboratory to test for what kind it is. The reports, the tests become very complex and very expensive every time you ask them for another test. So do you say swine flu? Nobody's come up with swine flu since 76. Why would they test for swine flu all of a sudden, just like that?
I think that's a very important point that we should go over again. You're saying that when tests are done to find out about a flu,
any compound, anytime you have a sample, a biological sample, you're looking at $2,300 just right off the shot for handling something that is so-called contagious. So you've got a marker right around $2,300 on it.
Okay,
so,
so
anything you ask for, let's say, you say, okay, check for avian flu, check for Spanish flu. Now, who's going to check for those? Why would they check for Spanish flu or swine flu? It could take months to come up to that conclusion that you need to even check for it.
So then,
how do they know to check for it immediately?
Here's the layman's question then. This is the first question I'd ask. How many different things, how many different flus, whatever, are possible to check for?
Probably right in a laboratory, what they have, maybe 16,000.
Right, so here's where the statistics come in. What are the odds that someone knew to say, hey, you should check for swine flu out of 16,000?
Impossible.
That's what you're
for
saying.
Probably 6 months, 7 months, 8 months down the line.
Right, so in other words, what you're saying is the reason why they know to check for it is because they gave it to us.
Correct.
Right.
They set it up, and they're looking for it immediately. Some people got the flu, and immediately they're looking for the swine flu. Why would they immediately look for swine flu? There's been no awareness of the swine flu since 1976, and that was a hoax.
All right, that was the swine flu back in the 70s, so it's still the same old thing today. So some great clips.
I agree.
Some real great clips. There's nothing new under the sun, which isn't 93 million miles away. It's probably a lot closer. It's probably 40 miles up. But anyway.
40 miles?
I don't think it's that high up.
That's the closest I've heard. That's interesting.
I've heard it's pretty close. Well, think of it this way. You know, they just say that if the Earth really is tilted away from the sun, look how much colder it gets. So there's no way it's 93 million miles away, but I think it's way closer. But
I've heard 3,000.
Yeah, maybe. I guess it just depends on how big it is or how big the thing we're sitting on is. So it's none of their stories are true. We know they're lying for sure, so we're sort of trying to figure it out, but we got to close
I've
out.
I've got some answers, but you know, John's asked me not to give any of these. So in private, I would tell you exactly exactly.
Okay, I'm gonna put these links. We got so many links tonight, so we're gonna put them on the show
Last link is that's 75% water running in an engine or in my garage.
Wow,
and they're like it's a carbureted engine, you know. It's not complicated. It's no big technology, nothing, you know.
Well, they know all that. They know all that. But it doesn't matter because you won't be allowed to have a car if their plans go through anyway. So that's the long and the short. They don't care. They're gonna lock us down and if we just sit still. So we gotta keep talking and revealing their plans and make sure people know. So anyway, guys, great night, and make sure everyone gets their proper sleep, because that's another secret to health. They don't want, and it's free, by the way.
Have you seen the stuff on vitamin D3? Have you seen information on that? Do you have an opinion on that?
I pop a D3 fish pill every morning. I don't know if it does any good, but that's one thing they were...
From what I understand, in the 1920s, the U.S. government screwed up and they made a mandate, and they told these food companies to put vitamin D in the food supply. So
yeah.
Here they go, and what happens? It empties out all the hospitals because it made people healthy.
Oh, wow.
And so the Rockefellers and all everybody stepped in and told them to reverse that shit, because they had it in hot dogs. They had vitamin D in hot dogs.
Wow.
And they had to reverse that. Now look at now. They don't have cows are supposed to, if you get grass-fed meat, get grass-fed butter, that has K2 vitamin in it. Do you know if you put K2 vitamin D together, and there's four or five other cofactors, and it's
right.
a product that does this. You put them all together, and all of a sudden you have bone remodeling technology. If somebody has a bum knee, bum shoulder, they have bumpy surface of the bone, they have arthritic problems. So long as they supplement with minerals and they take that product as D and
right.
A, drop the wrinkles right out of your face. You know, vitamin K2, it gets into the body and it dissolves the calcium.
Next show, man.
No, I know, and if you can get this stuff naturally and not artificially, it's even better.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of this. We're just walking around, Mal, just completely undernourished and eating all the wrong things and putting the poisons in, and it's just a really bad chemical soup that we're just this bag of bones. Most of us are walking around in, and then they have the solution, more poison to finish us off. So. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a great night. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to John Lukacs. Go to his website, estateartistry.com. All the show links are in the show tonight. And don't forget, if you like independent media, support it, because it's worth it. So fakeologist.com/donate. We take donations in every form that are legal at the moment, including Epic Cash. Chris Sky was promoting Epic Cash. I just put that video on FakoTube. Chris Sky is the freedom warrior in Canada that has tons of truth. And Uncle Odd had him on, Uncle Vigilante had him on his show. Chris Sky is promoting Epic Cash. I don't know for sure if it's the magic elixir for money, but... So far, a lot of people agree that it's definitely very good technology. And if you're going to be living in this world and want to transact and don't want to use the CBDC, you need an alternative. You're going to have to start looking right about now. So Epic Cash, they help support FakoTube. And we accept it here. And it's peer-to-peer. There's no central... So there's no central exchange for Epic Cash. But anyway, we're going to have Uncle Vigilante on this week. We got a full week of guests. I think tomorrow is Mark Tokarski of peaceofmindful.com, another great media fakery blog. We'll make sure you tune in tomorrow. He hasn't confirmed, so if he doesn't show up, we'll just talk about other stuff. But anyway, guys, thanks a lot. All the best. Have a good night.